Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 1. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Then King Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethiam, which is in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the covenant, the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. Even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, and to the article of the house, to the most holy place. Even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark. And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the article. And they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tablets of stone, save which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'll try to tie these in together by the help and the grace of God tonight. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him and bring one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, in other words, when they couldn't get to him because all the people that were there, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And verse 12 in the same chapter. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw it on this fashion. But I want to draw our attention back to verse number 1. The last part of that scripture, when it says, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. I want to preach for a thought tonight. Jesus was in the house. I said, Jesus was in the house. Amen. Let's pray tonight. God, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege and this opportunity tonight. God, we know that your presence is already here tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you will continue to move and touch, my God, in your precious name, Lord, that you will deliver in this house tonight, God, that you will set free, Lord. We pray, God, that you will speak directly to our hearts tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise, and you may be seated tonight. In Jesus' name, glory to God. I don't know if you recognized it tonight or not. I don't know if you've been paying that much attention to it. But I want to let you in on something tonight, and it's not a big secret. But Jesus is in this house. And you see, when Jesus is in the house, you know, telling what's going to happen. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, oh, friend of mine, don't let the devil rob you tonight just because the pastor's not here. Don't let the devil rob you tonight because you are distracted by whatever. But I want to let you to know that Jesus is in the house, friend of mine. And when Jesus is in the house, friend, he can set you free. He can give you liberty. He can give you joy like you never had joy before. Oh, friend of mine, that's the God that we serve. He's an everlasting God, full of grace and mercy, reaching out to his people. Oh, somebody clap their hands up to him and give him some praise tonight. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You see, when Solomon had got everything in order for the dedication of the house of the Lord, the Bible said, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. It was so intense that the priest, they could not minister in the house. So you see, friend of mine, when Jesus shows up, when Jesus began to show out, oh, hallelujah to God. No telling what he might do. What you need from the Lord tonight? Do you need him to heal you? He can do that. Do you need the Holy Ghost? He can give it to you. Do you need your joy back? He can give it to you. Are you living in fear? He can take it away from you. Because that's kind of God we serve. He don't want you to live in fear. He don't want you to be addicted to drugs. He wants you to be delivered from drugs. He wants you to be set free. And that's our God. Oh, friend of mine, when you come to the house of God, you have got to expect the impossible, because our God strives on doing the impossible. Oh, somebody give him some praise. Whoa! Hallelujah to God. Could you imagine being in that atmosphere, Brother Walker, where the Spirit of God was so strong and the Spirit of God presence was so good that they could not minister unto him? Oh, friend of mine, when the one that was sick of the palsy, and the Bible said that it was noised, and somehow the word got out that Jesus was in the house. And when Jesus was in the house, something is bound to happen. Oh, friend of mine, something is bound to happen. I don't care what the enemy says. Woo! Because Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah to God. The Bible says that it was noised abroad. It was noised. In other words, word got out that Jesus was in the house. You didn't hear me. I said word got out that Jesus was in the house. Oh, I said, word got out that Jesus was in the house. It must have been, they must have heard what he can do, because they brought one that was sick of the palsy. As a matter of fact, he couldn't even get up out of the bed. He was still laying in his bed when they came to Jesus. See, they had a determination. I'm going to get to Jesus. They had a determination. I'm not going to let nothing stop me. And friend of mine, you got to have that same determination. You want to get on a high? I want to challenge you to try Jesus. Oh, friend of mine, you will get on a high that will take you out of this world. So they got word that Jesus was in the house. And as they began, the Bible said that there was a press. There was such a big crowd of people around Jesus that they couldn't get to him through the door. And they didn't let that stop him. Oh, friend of mine, you has got to be determined tonight. No matter what's standing in my way, no matter what comes my way, no matter how the devil is trying to stop me, I've got to get to where Jesus is at. I got to touch Jesus tonight. I'd like to let Jesus touch me tonight. I need Jesus in my life. It's Jesus that's going to make the difference in my life. The Bible says that they got together Maybe they got their heads together. They got a group of them together, and they began to talk among themselves. I don't know. It don't say that, but let me add a little bit to it. And they begin to say, well, we can't get, you know, circumstances could have said, well, you need to give up. You're never going to get through that crowd. You're never going to get to where Jesus is with that crowd there. But oh, no, my friend, they were determined that I'm going to get to Jesus. And the Bible said that they begin to rip the roof apart. Oh, they begin to tear out the shingles. They begin to tear out the boards. They begin to pull everything up. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost right about now. And they begin to tear it apart. And they begin to take it apart. Woo! That's what you got to do. You got to be determined. I'm going to touch Jesus. I'm going to get to where he's at. I'm not going to let nothing stop me, because Jesus is in the house. I imagine once they got him on top of the roof and Jesus began to hear those shingles and those wood boards began to come apart. I can only imagine that he looked up and said, somebody is trying to get to me. Somebody has a need in their life and they're trying to get to me. Pardon me if you please. Maybe they tied a rope over here and a rope over there and a rope over here and a rope over there. And they took the one that was sick of the palsy and they began to lower him down. They begin to let him down to where Jesus was. You see, when Jesus is in the house, friend of mine, you can get what you need from God. You can get what you got to God, what has for you. Nothing can stop you from getting what God has for you. Only you yourself can stop him. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, oh, friend of mine's faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't need a whole lot of faith. All you need is just a little bit to touch Jesus. All you need is just a little bit of faith. Don't let nobody convince you got to have 2 truckloads, a car, and a pickup full of faith, because it's not that way. The Bible says that if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, oh, friend of mine, if you got that much faith, you can go, you can touch Jesus tonight. I imagine Jesus got kind of excited when he began to see them lower him down to him and began to see that he was being lowered to him. And when he got in front of Jesus, Jesus said, oh my God, I never seen such faith. They were determined. And the Bible's let us to know that once he got in front of Jesus, Jesus touched him. Not only did Jesus touch him, he healed him. But you know what was astounding to me when I read that? They said in the scriptures, we have not seen such a thing on this wise. They have never seen something performed like this before. Oh, but that's our God. He loves doing the impossible. When we think there's no way out, when we think that there's a dead end street, God will step in and open up a new direction. That's the kind of God we serve. Oh, somebody clap their hands unto him tonight. Hallelujah. Give him some praise. Hallelujah to God. Jesus was in the house. So where are you going tonight? Where are you headed? I see you every Sunday, every Wednesday. You're dressed up in your little suit. Where are you going? I'm going to Father's house. Why are you going to Father's house so many times? Because Jesus is in the house. Oh, come as I know, when I get to the house of God, when I get to where my Father is, I might have been having a bad day. I might have been down and depressed, but I know if I can just get over to Father's house. I know if I can just get to where God is, he's going to make the difference in my life. Why do you think the enemy fight you so hard to stay away from the house of God? Coming to the house of God is just like going to the grocery store. You go to the grocery store to get food for the flesh. You come to the house of God to get food for the soul. Hallelujah to God. That's why the enemy fights you so much. He don't want you to get fed by Jesus. So that's why you got to be determined. I got to get down to the house. Oh, I got to be determined. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from getting to the house. Because I know when I get to the house of God that Jesus is going to be there. Hallelujah to God. And when we go to worship and praise and get in one mind and united in Jesus, hallelujah to God, there's no telling what might happen. My mind that night, I went there to fight. Oh, but something got a hold of me. Hallelujah to God. I remember when I went to that apostolic Pentecostal church, I began to watch the people and what they were doing. And I couldn't understand what they were doing, but I know they were doing something that I liked. And I watched them, and I looked at this one, I looked at that one, and all of a sudden I began to feel something there. And I was like, oh my, I need to come back here. I want what they got. They got something that I don't have, and I want to get that. But you know what it was? It was Jesus that I was looking for. It was Jesus that I needed. It was Jesus that was in the house, friend of mine. Don't let the enemy talk you out of this thing, but because Jesus got too much invested in you for you to stay away from his house. Ooh, somebody ought to be shouting right about now. Ooh, somebody should be praising him right about now. Hallelujah to God. The scripture says this, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that ye may be filled with all fullness of God. And he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Fill my cup, Lord. The scripture says, my cup run it over. Oh, friend of mine, God, fill my cup so it can run over onto somebody else, and it can run over on somebody else, God. Because when my cup is full, you see, I might have come to the house of God with my tank on half full, but before I leave tonight, it's going to be on that full bar, going to be full of the Spirit. And when you're full of the Spirit, you can fight the enemy with everything in you, and you'll win the battle, but you got to get full of the Spirit. Spirit. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Jesus was in the house. You see, when Jesus is in the house, it makes all the difference. Fullness. What does that word fullness mean? It means to be completely filled, containing all that can be held, filled to the utmost capacity. Could you imagine? Oh, friend of mine, could you imagine if every one of us that's sitting in this building tonight, all of a sudden we become full, so full of the Holy Ghost, and they begin to pour out on each other. Friend of mine, I tell you what, that ain't a devil in hell that can stop the move of God. But can you imagine being so full of the Spirit that everywhere you go, someone notice that there's something different about you. There's something that you have. And oh, I got to tell the story. Woo, I got to tell this story. We went to Applebee's one night right after church. And this devil, I'm going to call him a devil because that's what he was, came up to me and he said, oh, I feel something about you guys. I said, And then he went on to say, he tried to tell me who Jesus was. And then when he wouldn't listen to me. I could have told him who Jesus was. That's right, Anthony. But he wouldn't listen. But he had to get his 2 cents in. Every time I try to say something, he'll cut me off and keep throwing his 2 cents out. So, till finally I recognized it. There's no need of me wasting my time. Mm-mm. Don't kid yourself. The enemy knows who we are. You know what? He needs to know who we are. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled of the Holy Ghost. So when we go walking down the streets of Santa Maria and Orchid, California, the devil see us coming and he turns and runs the other way. And I don't want nothing to do with them. They got too much Jesus in them. Woo! Be filled with the Spirit, friend of mine. You want to overcome carnality? Get filled of the Spirit. You want to overcome temptation? Get filled of the Spirit. You know, they see us walking down the streets of Santa Maria. Don't kid yourself. They know who we are. They're watching us. Yes, they are. But you know what they need to see in us? They need to see Jesus in us. Because they need Jesus in their lives. And when we come to the house of God, we need to leave with Jesus. We need to be wrapped up, tangled up, and tied up with Jesus. Because Jesus is in the house, oh friend of mine. Oh, I don't want to leave without the Lord touching me tonight. I don't want to leave without God giving me some more Holy Ghost tonight. It means to be containing all that can be held. Can you imagine being filled to the utmost capacity? I mean, all that you can take, all that you can withstand. Woo! Remember when you first got the Holy Ghost? Remember how excited it was? Remember how God showed you? Woo! Oh, friend of mine. But I want to let you in on something. You can get right back to where you was that night. I don't care what the flesh and the devil says. Hello, because God wants to fill your tank up. He wanted to pour some more spirit inside of you. You know why? Because he wants you to walk in the spirit, that you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only way you're going to overcome the lust of the flesh is to walk in the spirit. And if you walk in the spirit, you won't not, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you got to be filled. Too many times we try to handle this thing on our own, and it don't work that way. That's why God gives you the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost to help you not do certain things. That's why some things you can't quit unless you get the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is what convicts us. He said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said you're going to be my witnesses, but he said you're going to receive power. That power is to help you to overcome whatever adversity that may come your way. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. But not only that, it puts God's seal of approval on us. We no longer are the property of the enemy. When God stamps us with the Holy Ghost and he puts his spirit in us, you know, the devil cannot come back and live in us. Amen. No, don't listen to that lying devil. Once you get the Holy Ghost, you got the Holy Ghost. You got God living inside of you. Honestly, he is afraid of you. He don't want you to know that, but he's scared of you, because all you got to do is call on that name, and that name is Jesus. And when you're going to call it on that name, oh friend of mine, it'll shake the devil in his boots. Jesus is in the house. You see, in his presence, it's complete joy. Complete joy. Are you lacking in joy tonight? Do you need a little bit more joy? But I want to tell you, Jesus is here to give it to you. Somebody said, but what is joy? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Joy is exceeding gladness. It's the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptional, good, or satisfying. A source of or a cause of keen pleasure or delight. Something or someone greatly valued or appreciated. The expression or display of glad feelings. We ever been so excited that we just couldn't contain it? That's what the Holy Ghost does to you. Yeah, it does. Yeah. When your tank run low though, and then you're struggling to get it back there. But when you come to the house of God where Jesus is and begin to let God fill you up again with the Holy Ghost. You see, when you get the Holy Ghost, like I said earlier, you don't lose it. You just got to keep coming back and getting more of it. You just got to keep coming back, getting filled up with it, because Jesus don't leave and come back. He's not that way. He puts his seal on you. He sticks with you. We just got to feed the spirit, man. Yeah. We just got to come back and get filled of the spirit. So where you going? I'm going to Father's house. How come? Because Jesus is in the house. How come you're going to the house of God? Because Jesus is in the house. How do you know he's there? Because I've experienced him. I know he's there. Because he said in his word, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, I'm right in the middle of that. Oh, friend of mine, don't stop me from getting to the house of God. I've got to get to the house where Jesus is. I've got to go where Jesus is at. Because I know when I get to where Jesus is, I'm going to get what I need. And if I'm running short on joy, I can leave with my joy full before this all said and done. If I need peace in my life, I can get it before I leave the house of God. If it's a miracle I need, I just make a petition before the Lord and get myself on down to the house where Jesus is and believe him for that miracle, because he can do it. It's nothing impossible with him. I'm going to read another fast. You don't have to turn here. I'm going to read this to us. There's another setting of scripture. But I want to read it to us. And it's kind of lengthy, but I'll read it and then we'll go on. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a storm of wind and waves and beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. So the water was getting into the ship. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Oh, friend of mine, I'm talking about Jesus. He can speak to that storm in your life and tell it to be still, because he's that kind of a God. That's why I got to get down to the house of God so he can calm my storms. Oh, somebody clap their hands into the Lord and give him some praise. Hallelujah to God. That even the winds and the sea obey him. Wow. He just spoke peace. Be still. And the Bible says there was a great calm. But you see, the point that I want to make in this set of the scriptures, the disciples realized who they had on board. Jesus was down in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. But Jesus was in that place. He was right there with them. So when the storms of life come your way, don't forget. Jesus said it like this. He said, Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. He said, I'm with you through the thick and through the thin, through the storms of life. No matter what the enemy throws your way, I'm with you. And when, like I said, when God puts a stamp of approval on you, he don't abandon you. He don't leave you all by yourself. He's right there. All you got to do is call out to him and say, Jesus, this is a heavy one. Oh, Jesus, I need you right now. Oh, Jesus, the devil's fighting me really hard. Oh, Jesus. You see, the enemy just try to convince you in your mind that he's this big and that he can't help you and that you're just wasting your time because God don't care about you. That's what they're trying to tell you. But it's all a lie, because God does care about you. God does love you. If he says, Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world, he meant exactly what he said. So why am I here? Because Jesus is in the house. I said, Jesus is in the house. The scripture says, I'm going to read some more scriptures here. I'm trying to land the plane. He says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. Check this point out here. He says, In thy presence is the fullness of joy. Woo. In thy presence is the complete capacity of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, that's why it's so very important that we get in his presence. Because in his presence there's complete joy. That's why the enemy tries so hard to distract you. That's why he don't want you to say an amen or a hallelujah or glory to God or clap your hands or get the attention of God. Because he wants to distract you. Hello? Because a distracted saint is one that can easily be tripped up. I don't think you heard me. I said a distracted saint is one that can easily be tripped up. That's why it's so important to keep your focus on Jesus. Despite of what's happening in your life, despite of the mistakes that you make, despite of what's going on in your life, you keep your focus on Jesus and let him make the difference in your life. You see, in the presence of him is deliverance. I said, in his presence, there's deliverance. You might think you're addicted to something. I want to try to tell you to try Jesus and see how addicted you will remain. I've seen people come to the house of God, tore up on alcohol, but they leave sober because God get a hold to them. Oh, I've seen people get high on the Holy Ghost and they don't wake up the next day with a hangover. Hello? You see, it's okay to get high on the Holy Ghost because that stuff in the world, you don't need it. You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol, because I want to tell you that Jesus is better than all of that stuff. He'll pull friend of mine. He'll lift you up above all those situations. The songwriter said it like this. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I don't think you heard me. I said only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Not a boyfriend, not a girlfriend, not an alcohol, not a needle, not a snort, but only Jesus can satisfy your soul. He'll set you free from the mind like you thought you never could be set free. You see, that stuff that the enemy has to offer is only temporary. Because when it's all, when you come down, you got to go figure out to get money to get more of it. But you see, when you get high on Jesus, and you need some more, all you gotta do is get on over to his house. All you gotta do is find yourself a place to pray. And it don't cost you any money. You don't have to worry about going broke. Hallelujah to God. All it costs you is just a little bit of time and sacrifice. And you just find a place to pray and open up your closet, friend of mine, and God will pour out his spirit right where you're at. I remember when I was hungry for the Lord, I wasn't raised in this. I was not raised in the church. So I had my little fun out in the world, if you want to call it that. But what I found out that I was really trying to satisfy something in here. And it was down on the inside of me, and I was looking for something to satisfy it. And I tried different things and nothing was satisfied. It would do it temporarily, but it didn't last too long. Until finally the Lord questioned me one day. And you know, God will speak to you. The question is, are you going to listen to him? That's the question. And so he said to me, well, why don't you start going to church? A lot of you heard me tell this story. And I couldn't figure out a reason why I wouldn't go to church. So I started going back to church. And this is where I end up at. Do I regret it? No. Nope, not one bit. Do I wish I'd done it sooner? Yes. Because there's some things that I did in my life that I can't change. I wish I can go back and change a lot of things that I did. But because of the grace of God, he's forgiven me all those things. And I don't want no more part of it. But he set me free from that. Amen. Now I can keep marching forward for the name of and the cause of Jesus. But you know, that first experience that I had with God, Brother Ronnie, I'll never forget it as long as I'm breathing. I went up to the altar that night. This is my first experience with God to let me know that he was real and alive. I had gone to church that night, and I was really sick and tired of doing what I was doing because I knew that there was a better way to life than what I was living, a better thing, something better, but I just couldn't figure it out. So when I started going to church, God began to reveal it to me that, hey, I have a better life for you. So anyhow, to make a long story short, I know we're anxious to get to the ice cream, so I'm going to cut it short. And so that night, the pastor or the preacher made the altar call. And so when he made the altar call, I'm sitting in my seat. I could feel the God tugging at my heart. And I think I was sitting right about in this area, somewhere in this area. And there was a guy standing beside me, and I could tell he wanted to go too, and I wanted to go, but I didn't say, hey, come on, let's go, because I didn't really need anybody, because I know I needed God for myself. And so I stepped out of the aisle, and when I stepped out, I made my way down to the altar. And when I got there, I prayed and asked God to forgive me of all my sins. God, forgive me, Lord, of everything that I've done. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, Lord. But when I got up from that altar, I wasn't the same person, Brother Ronnie, that when I went there. When I came back, I felt like I was walking like this high in the air. But I was looking at myself walking on the ground, but I felt like I was walking up here. I had felt such a touch of God that it was so real that when I went back to my seat, and the guy looked at me. He said, I almost went. I said, man, you should have came. I was trying to explain to him what I was experiencing, but I couldn't explain it because it was all over me. It was all in me. And hallelujah to God. And God was working on me. Oh, friend of mine, I want to tell you, God is real. I said, God is real. I got more to that story. And so when I left the house that day, when I left that morning, I was going, I don't know where I was going, but I left the church that service. It was a bright, sunny day. But I remember this. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted, guys. It was a bright, sunny day. And I saw, when I walked out of that building, I promise you, I saw this. Even though it was sunshine, I seen like a big old glow all around me. And it was like nothing could touch me. Nothing could harm me. It was like God said, I got my hands on you. I got your back. But it was so real that I don't know how to really explain it, but I know I experienced it. But what that did for me is made me want more. It was the beginning of God working on me and getting me to get back to the house where Jesus was. And I don't regret it to this day. Oh, friend of mine, I do not regret it. And so it wasn't long after that I got the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't, and I see people sometimes struggle to get the Holy Ghost. And it bothers me because it's not a struggle to get it because it's a gift. And if it's a gift, God wants to give it to you. So you don't have to struggle to get it. God's really want to give it to you. You don't have to jump over hoops, spit out 5, 10, 20 cartwheels, roll all over the floor. All you got to do is repent. Just repent. That's all you have to do. Just turn away from actions that lead to death. Just repent of your sins. And that night when I got the Holy Ghost, before my knees could touch the carpet, I was speaking in tongues. Nobody had to stand there with 20 and 30 minutes saying, come on, you can do this, come on. No. All I did was I went to the altar to ask him to forgive me. Before I could kneel down, it was coming out because I was hungry for it. I wanted to be filled with Jesus. And a friend of mine, if you're hungry for the Holy Ghost, God will give it to you. You don't have to beg for it. I'm going to invite the musicians to come because I can keep going and going and going. Or you guys be looking at me like that. I don't want you to. Hallelujah to God. The scripture says, let me read the other version to that same scripture of Psalm 16 and 11. This is another version that I have of that same scripture. See, the King James Version says, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The other version that I have says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Whew. Amen. In his presence. The scripture says, for his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And then for everyone that ask, whew, that word. Receiveth. There's a story behind that. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open unto him. Last scripture. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us, he's right here. Jesus is in the house. I said, Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. What is it you need from him? Do you need the Holy Ghost? He's so ready to give it to you. Do you need joy? He's so ready to fill you up. Do you need peace? He's so ready to give you peace. That's our God. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about you. He hasn't called you into this thing to leave you all by yourself. Shall we stand tonight? So Jesus is in the house. So I might as well give me some joy. I might as well give me some mercy. I might as well give me some peace tonight. The altars are open. Hallelujah to God. The altars are open.
There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy. There is joy. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy.